football coach walked into the changing room before a game. He looked over at his new signing and said, "I'm not supposed to let you play since you failed arithmetic. But we need you to be on the team. So what I have to do is ask you a math question. If you get it right, then you'll be allowed to play." The player agreed, so coach looked into his eyes intently and asked, "Okay, now concentrate and tell me the answer to this. What's 2 plus 2? The player thought for a moment and answered, "4. "Did you say 4? The coach explained, excited that the player had actually got the answer right. Suddenly all the other players on the team began shouting, "Come on, coach, give him another chance." Every year at this time when we have this American event that we call the Super Bowl happens, it seems to me that the same questions are asked by people. You know, who's playing? When is it? Who's having a party? In case you didn't know or forgot, we are around 5. Who is the musical act during the halftime show? What time does it start? And those questions really are easy to answer. You find out, you can go to Google and you can get the answers for them pretty quickly. But since you're here, I'll just tell you. You have the Patriots and the Rams tonight at 6:30 on CBS, Maroon 5 to play at halftime. Got that? Good. And people pay thousands of dollars to watch the big game. As a matter of fact, last night, tickets on StubHub were going from $2,500 to $7,500 each. Atlanta, who's hosting the Super Bowl this year, spent tons on the game. As a matter of fact, they spent $23 million on a pedestrian bridge to take people from the transit system to Mercedes-Benz Stadium so that they could get across this four-lane highway safely. Isn't that nice that Atlanta just thought out some things and thought about the community and the people? What was the problem? That $23 million bridge was shut down and not usable because of a security risk. So they can't even use this pedestrian bridge they had made specifically for this event. Isn't that cool? I digress a little. Let me just get back to trying to get the message in for today. But here's the question I think that needs to be asked to sort of set up my message for this morning. How long is the Super Bowl? That's a great question, church. Thanks for asking. You want the short answer, long? The long, good, because that's what I had in mind. Oh, good. The game has 4 quarters of 15 minutes each. So the game's an hour long, right? Not. Actually, in 2010, Super Bowl XLIV, and for those that are trying to figure out in your head, that's Super Bowl 44, was 3 hours and 42 minutes. In 2011, it was 3 hours and 53 minutes. 2012, 3 hours and 23 minutes. 2013, 4 hours and 15 minutes. 2014, 3 hours and 25 minutes. 2015, 3 hours 37 minutes. 2016, 3 hours and 53 minutes, and I think get the picture. On average, a Super Bowl is about 3 hours and 44 minutes. Out of those 3 hours and 44 minutes, how much time is actually used playing the game? Ready for the answer? About 12 minutes. Yeah, what? And however, still today, about 112 million people around the globe will join in unity to watch Tom Brady and Jared Goff throw a ball and up and down the field to see who's crowned champions. We have about 325.7 million people in America as of 2017, and so about 1 in 3 will be watching the game. Hopefully not all at my house. Oh, one more shocking statistic. The 30-second commercial, which is why most of you watch the game anyway, will be $168,333 per second. So just over $5 million for a 30-second spot. So now let me just have a few more statistics, and I promise I will try to bring my message to something that we can gleam and hopefully be actually a little challenged by. Someone once timed the second quarter of a game to see how it was all played out, and here's what they found. 2 minutes and 41 seconds was pass plays, 2 minutes and 5 seconds was penalty mark-offs, 1 minute and 1 second was running plays, 44 seconds were kickoffs, punts, and returns, and 15 seconds was field goal and extra point attempts. So out of a possible 15 minutes in that quarter, only 6 minutes and 46 seconds was actually spent playing football. And that's if you include the penalty mark-offs as being playing the game. That's about 45% of the quarter was spent playing football. So how was the remainder of that 55% or the 8 minutes and 13 seconds used? Much of it was used by players being in huddles. There was, however, another 23 minutes and 35 seconds spent while the clock was stopped. There were timeouts for measurements, timeouts for incomplete passes, timeouts when a player ran out of bounds, timeouts for TV commercials, and during those timeouts, guess what the players were doing? Standing around in a huddle. So out of the 38 minutes and 35 seconds it took to play the second quarter, only 6 minutes and 46 seconds, or 17% of the time, was spent playing football. So tonight, we'll sit around and watch the Patriots and Rams play. No huddle. That's why people spend all that money, right? That's why I spend $1,000 on tickets to go watch their favorite teams in a huddle. Okay, Pastor, what does this have to do with being here? I didn't come to church today to hear a bunch of Super Bowl statistics I could care less about. And so, okay, before you walk out, let me just begin to bring this into perspective for you. The reason people watch the Super Bowl is to answer this one question, which is sort of my message for today. Which team will be better? Which team will better execute after the huddle? Which team will better execute after the huddle? And tonight a large number of people will find the answer to that very question. But today I need to share with you a much different audience than who will watch the game. And as your friends, your families, your co-workers, the people of your circle of influence, they're not just watching the game, they're watching you. And they want to see what you'll do when you get out of the huddle. We call the church. See, church, we come together in unity. We worship together. You receive the play from your quarterback, that's your pastor. And then you're sent out on the line to see if you can execute what you've been called to do. And hear this, church, your friends, your family, your co-workers, the ones that don't know the Lord, they're not at all interested or impressed by the activities of the church. If after the huddle, you can't execute what you've been taught. So if you choose not to live and act any different than how they do, If you're not offering anything more than what they already have, if after the huddle you're not becoming more like Him, they are no more interested in living for God than they are of watching the Patriots and the Rams huddle up during the game. But make no mistake, they are watching. Their eyes are focused on those who claim to be a follower of Jesus. And so my question to you this morning is that after you hear the Word of God, whether it be by coming to church and hearing a message like this, or whether it be reading His Word or a prophetic word that you get or a revelation that He gives you, do you execute? Let's for a moment look what we can learn from the teams that are playing tonight. I think there's some things that we can learn from those that are there. First thing we can learn from them is that each team knows the playbook. When the quarterback gets in the huddle, he can tell his teammates what the play will be with very few words. They come in their group. They look up. They get in their huddle. He's telling what the play is. And then they go line up, and they all get in their position, and they're waiting. And then he goes, "All right, white sand, sticky fingers, hut, hut," and they go. I mean, whatever. And they know what white sand and sticky fingers means. They know exactly who the ball's going to. They know exactly what the play is. They know why, because they've studied the playbook. David said this way in Psalms 119 and 11. He said this, "I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you." I looked at it. I read it. I studied it. I understand it. I hid it there so I won't sin against you, Lord. That's what David said. They understand the playbook. They understand it so well, so much that when the player just simply says something, the quarterback just says something, they get it. They understand and they run the play. Truth is, the teams playing today have spent hours studying and memorizing the playbook, so that when the play is called, they know where to line up, where to run, who's going to get it. They understand the play. That is why it's so important for the body of Christ to study and memorize the Word of God, the Scripture. Because I can assure you, our opposing team knows how to twist the Word of God to deceive the people of God. And he will try every time he gets an opportunity to do that very thing. When the quarterback makes the call, not one teammate is caught off guard, caught by surprise, thinking, "What?" Because they know the play. They've studied it. They memorized it. They know it. The quarterback will never, never go with the player, no matter how fast, how talented, no matter how good they are, how good they catch, if they don't know the play. Won't do it. In church, we have a playbook. It's called the Scripture. And we can learn from its contents if we read it. As a matter of fact, we are told in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, "For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the Scriptures and in the encouragement they provide, we might have hope." And I'm concerned that far too many believers struggle in their walk with God, not because God's not talking to them or speaking to them, but because they have not hid the Word of God's heart in their heart. The teams tonight probably know their playbook better than a lot of believers know theirs. The teams tonight will spend a great deal of time in a huddle just to be sure that everybody's on the same page. But what about the church? I'm not talking about just this church, this body of believers only, but the church as a whole. We spend time in a huddle every Sunday, trying to receive the plays that the Lord has given to us. But what do we do when the call, what do we do with the call after it's received? Which brings me to the second point. The second point is this. Both teams are in tune with their coach. They understand what the coach wants because the coach has told them. So they know what to expect because the coach has given them the expectation. He's already laid out what he wants to do. They've watched the tape from previous games. They've watched the tape from other players, from other teams. They know what they want. The coaches have examined every aspect of the game. We too have a coach. He understands us. He calls us to do a task that he knows that if we just trust and rely on him, we can accomplish. Matter of fact, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 15 through 23 says this. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glory, of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparable great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in heavenly realms. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, in every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head of over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Jesus is our coach. He may have called me to be the pastor, the quarterback, if you will. But I need you to understand the coach's will for this body so far, it's equipped you all to do the work of ministry. I take this calling seriously. I do a disservice to you if I don't spend time talking with the coach. That is why God has the fivefold ministry of apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. It's why they're there. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to do what? To equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. Until when? Until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Until! When the team gets in the huddle, everyone just stops what they're doing and they listen to the play. Church, there are times that we need to just empty ourselves. Just simply need to sit in the presence of the Lord and listen. So that we know exactly what to do, what He's called us to do. The next point, both these teams will show up tonight conditioned to play. No matter the weather, the circumstance, the situation, they came to play the game. In between games, they practice their skill. They lift with their weights. They do the team exercises. They make sure that they keep on going. Even in the off season, they keep themselves prepared. They are constantly ready to play the game. Tom Brady and Jared Goff, they didn't show up at the beginning of the season and throw up their very first pass. They had thrown that ball numerous times well before the season even started. Each player had already been conditioned themselves so that they didn't need to catch up with the rest of the team. Look at it again in Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 13. We read it once, I'm going to just read it again. It says this, "So Christ Himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip His people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up, until we all reach unity in the faith and in knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." But then it continues, "Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people and their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. From Him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work." Are you growing? Are you doing your part? God has given us spiritual gifts that condition us for battle. Are you using what God's given you? The teams not only come knowing the playbook, or not just in tune with what the coach has, they're not just conditioned to play, but lastly, they come dressed for battle. And church, we are in a Super Bowl. But it isn't a game. Our enemy wants to destroy us, wants to see to it that every play that we've called is blocked. Church, we need to come prepared for battle. Ephesians 6, 10 through 17 says this, "Finally be strong in the Lord and in His mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything to stand, stand firm with your belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place," that's your shoulder pads or whatever, "with your feet, with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace," that those spikes they put on to make sure they can run better without tripping and falling. "In addition to that, take up the shield of faith," call it the lineman you got to hit, those things are beasts, "with which you extinguish every flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation," that thing that protects your mind, "and the word of the Spirit," which is the word of God. We are victors because our playbook is the best ever. Our coach is out of this world. And he has blessed us with gifts that only he can provide. When used in tune with the Holy Spirit, they are, we are unstoppable. In the huddle, we need to learn to cast all our cares on him. In the huddle, we need to learn to trust in him. In the huddle, we need to bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In the huddle, we need to listen to the play so that we can run it with perfection. In the huddle, we need to learn not to lean on our own understandings, but always acknowledge him, for he directs our path. In the huddle, we need to learn how to do what he's called us to do. What do you do in the huddle helps you execute the play. Do we come to church just because? Or do we come to church because he is? Because if you come to church just because, you'll never execute like he's called you to do. But if you come to church hungry and thirsty for the win, you are unstoppable. See, the gifts and the callings of God without repentance, he's never going to be sorry he gave them to you. He's not going to say, oh, I can't believe they messed up again. Wish I wouldn't have done that. He doesn't do that. He uses you right where you're at so you can grow in him and be undefeatable. See, I've read the end of the playbook. We win. We win. Those teams have nothing on us. We win. Our enemy has nothing on us. We win. Because I've learned that in the huddle, it's so great to be in the huddle. Because there we can learn together of what he's called us to do. So church, go long. The ball's being passed to you. Go and do what Jesus did. Live like he lived. I said this last week, but it bears repeating this week. You are not trying to become a child of God. You are a child of God. You are a child of God becoming like Christ. Hut, hut! Go. Because this is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. How I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how I fight my battles.
This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. This is how. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.
This is how I fight my battles.
Lord, this is how I fight our battles.
This is how I fight.
Praise. Worship.
This is how I fight my battles.
Our huddle together. Lord, help us memorize the playbook, live the playbook, breathe the playbook. Help us, Father, to come prepared for battle. Understand the coach is telling us, listen to what the coach has to say, because you've looked at the enemy's plans. You've looked at their plays. You've seen what he does. We are not ignorant of his devices, God. We need to just love as you love. Teach what you teach. Show what you show. Do what you do. The enemy wants to block every play, but God, we call the special play. You've got one that nobody's ever ran. So Father, I just pray right now that you just teach us to listen to your voice. And not just be hearers of the word, but doers as well, that we might just come to full maturity in the body of Christ. And Lord, as you'll bless your people, as it looks like we're surrounded by others, by our enemy, God, we know that we're surrounded by you and your grace and your mercy and your love and your presence. So Lord, just be with your people today. Bless your people mightily. Use them to change our culture and shift the things into your glory and your manifestation, your healing wings under ours. Function as you function, God. Live and breathe as you have taught us to live and breathe. Worship you, God, when things are going well. Worship you when things aren't going so well. For God, we know that your Holy Spirit combined with what you've told us to do, God, that we can do all things through Christ who gives us strength. The enemy has nothing on us.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm
and I thank you for that. So we line up. And Lord, after this huddle today, we execute what you've called us to do.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded.
In Jesus' name we thank you.
It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you.